Your mother was afraid to tell your daddy, I'm leaving. Because the question would be, where are you going? But today, the lady owned the apartment you live in. She is passing your by. It's a different world. Am I coming home real today? Yeah. It's tough, see? And we keep telling the guy, be a good man, be a good man. The guy says, how do I be a good man? I don't know how to be a good man anymore. Look at this other question here. It says, for the first time in recorded history, we look to each other no longer for food and clothes and car and house, but for some things that men are not trained to give. Love, romance, and survival. Women don't want car no more now. They want love and romance. They want you to take them out. You know, when my mother and father and your mother and father were, you know, growing up as married people, let me tell you something. You know, do you know why your father never spoke? It was unnecessary. Your mother knew exactly what to do, and your father knew exactly what to do. There's no need to talk. The roles were clear. But today, see, both of y'all go to work. Both of you come home the same time, both of you are tired. Now when my father went out to work, he expect food to be home because she's home. And the food was cooked, hot, ready. Just, you know, slippers on the front of the chair, you take one on the chair, everything was ready. Go home, I expect that today. She come home asking you for her slippers. Why? It's a different world. Am I talking the truth here? It's tough. So now, she don't need no food, she don't need no clothes, she don't need no house. She wants to talk. Let's talk. And the guy goes, about what? Why? He ain't trained to communicate to no woman. So all he says is, how you doing? How is work? Good. And that's it. That's why you turn the TV on, because there's nothing to talk about. You gotta be hidden somewhere, so you hide in television, you hide in music, because you can't talk. And guess what a woman's second most important need is? Conversation. The woman's number one need is affection. The guy can't do romance. Anytime a man do romance today, he wants sex. He don't want romance. He wants sex. And the woman said, no, my sex, affection. That means sit with me and just hold my hand for 2 hours. The brother said, I can't do that. But that's romance. Your mother never asked your father for romance. Check it out. Never. Why? They were too busy in their roles. But the roles have been canceled. So she got time now. You got time now. But you ain't trained to talk. And she want to listen. And so the man is under pressure. So what does he do? He runs from the house, goes on the bar stool, kills some other men who don't talk. He feels safe in the club. Why? If I go home, I gotta talk, man. That's how it works, man. She won't talk, man. But what? I don't know, man. She just won't talk. See? And the pressure's on the guy to be a man. So man, you need to be trained in communication. Because women need you to talk to them. Then a woman asks you a question. She don't want an answer. She want a discussion. See, women coffee? Write that down, boy. Write that down. I don't know. They want what? Conversation. Then a woman bring you a problem, don't solve it. She don't want a solution. She just want to talk about it. She's not a solver. She wants you to talk. But a man is not trained in romance and communication. And so he freezes up. And that's why he becomes short of patience. And even to the point where he become violent. Like, woman, just leave me alone. And like, hey, I gotta talk to you. And he says, leave me alone. 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 You wanna be alone. And you ain't created to be alone. And so you got this tension. So man, you need to also understand that you need to get some skills to be a man in the house. And that means you got to sit down and talk. Have conversation. Take your wife out for lunch or dinner or something. Just to spend time together. That's romance. See, both of you are working now, so it's good to take them out to eat. Because you ain't got no time to cook. Hello? and make sure you pay for it, brother. I know she got money, but tell her you keep your money. You know, you, a lady, let him pay. I said let the brother pay. He needs to what? Give. I know you can pay, but that's not the issue. He needs to feel like he gave you something. Very important. So, it's tough being a man today. This last one is heavy. Happiness and intimacy and lasting passion is what's required in relationships now. Not bacon and house. Women want a man who will walk down the road holding their hand now. You never saw your mother and daddy holding no hand walking down the road. Never. But today, ladies, am I right? Y'all help me out here. See? These women are crazy today. They're different. They're crazy. They want you to hold their hand and walk in public. Mm-hmm. They want you to kiss them in the car in the front of every other woman. Talk to me now, ladies. Help me out here. They want romance. It's different. Now your daddy was the silent type. Why? That was easy. But you can't be the that over. Get it through your head, brother. That over. You gotta can't be the silent type. You gotta be the talkative, listening, you know, caressing, emotional, passionate, touching, praising, blessing, giving type. You gotta keep calling them every 5 minutes. I love you. Hour later, I just call. The same. That's what women need. Women need. And women are struggling with the very problem they created. Let me take the problem in them. World War II, that's the whole thing. Men went to war. 50 million people were killed in World War II. The ones that were alive were away from the family. So the women had to leave the house and go to the factories and make bullets and make tanks, and the whole Western world changed. When the men came back home from the war, guess who had their jobs? Their wives. 1945, the whole world changed, and we don't even recognize that the whole thing was messed up. And so now we got men and women in the factory. So who's paying for the kids? So the government started a program called daycare centers. And so now you got the mother no longer taking care of the kids. You dump them over in the government program, and both of you go to work. And then you come home and tell the guy, be a man. The guy says, hey, you be in the work too. Both of us in the factory. Why don't you be a woman? And then she says, I'm a woman, equal rights. He's okay. So you got a right to be in the factory. I got a right to be in the factory. And the kids are being bothered by television. Okay, so how do I be a man anymore? Because you got the man's job. What made my daddy a man was his job. His work. But that's gone. Some of you men in this room, your boss is a woman. So forget all that. It's over. So you got to find another way to become a man. And it can't be your roles anymore. The roles you play. So ladies, gotta go easy on us, okay? It's rough. I'm gonna do a series next month on how to live with a man. Because it's tough to try and figure out how to make this man a man. Because what made his daddy a man doesn't exist. So you gotta, okay, how do I make my husband a man? I gotta figure out, what does it take to become a man maker? How do I help him become a man? I'm a helper. You gotta learn some skills. Most men feel overworked. They work harder than their fathers used to work. Some men got two jobs. Watch this. When my father came home, my mother would be at the door and hug him and thank him for bringing home the check. You go home today, yeah, why didn't say nothing to you but no check? What do you say? You deposit it? You know, there's no gratitude. So the man doesn't feel valuable. My father felt valuable to my family. But today, both husband and wife working, so, you know, the value is gone for the male. He got to find value another way. They feel unappreciated. So how does a man deal with this business of being a man, being a good man, and don't know what that means, how to do that, and then come home to a two-career marriage? How do you be a good man? You can't buy anything to be a good man. Are you all okay? I feel like you're quiet. Don't think any. Yeah, sober. Okay. All right. Let me just give you some answers here. Proverbs 12 says this. Write this down. It says, a good man obtains what? Favor from the Lord. But the Lord condemns a crafty man. That's a man who always swindling and crafty in the night, running around doing foolishness. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. So a good man is a man who tries to stay in sync with God. Right standing with God. That's the first thing a man got to do. Let me line up with God. Don't worry about buying food and clothes, but line up with God first. Then God begins to give you favor. He begins to give you revelation about how to live with this woman. Another verse I thought was very interesting. This was a photograph I took with a young man who was a singer. He was here in one of our Youth and Live conferences. He was a little boy at that time. This was in Bermuda. He came to me. He says, Pastor Miles, will you be my spiritual daddy? He's now one of the top rap artists, I think, in Christian artists. And here I am hugging him. This was about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he was saying, will you be my spiritual daddy? I said, sure. And I prayed for him. I wept over this kid. Here's what the Bible says about children and a good man. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. In other words, a good man thinks generationally. He never thinks only of himself or his kids. He thinks about their kids. A good man, therefore, plans ahead. Notice the next part of that verse. It says, and the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I believe that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for who? The good man. What good man? The man who is thinking about his great-grandchildren. In other words, God will prosper a man who is making plans for his great-grandchildren. He will get money from the wicked into the hands of a man who wants to make sure his grandchildren are doing okay. So God doesn't just give people wealth. He gives the man wealth who wants to plan for his grandchildren. Does this make sense? So my question to you as a man is, what have you planned for your unborn grandchildren so far? Have you bought a piece of property for them yet? And don't plan to give them the car. That car ain't gonna be there when they arrive. You need something that is real estate. Another verse I thought was interesting in the book of Proverbs 14, it says, the faithless man will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. God rewards the good man. A simple man believes what? Anything. But a good man gives thought to his ways. That means a good man sits down and thinks, if I make a decision, it's going to affect this and affect that and affect that and affect that, so I better not make a decision. He gives thought to his decision making. He does not just rashly make decisions. Men are in need of wisdom. Matthew chapter 12 says, the good man brings good things out of his heart. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Check who your friend. A good man chooses his friends carefully. Because you see, if you cannot bring your friends in the presence of your children, you got the wrong friends. If the language of your friends are not conducive to your little boy, you got the wrong friends. If your friends are drinking what you don't want your son to drink, you chose the wrong friends. If your friends tell stories that your daughter shouldn't hear, you got the wrong friends. A good man is cautious in friendship. Study your friends right now. See if they could be in your house with your kids for 2 days. Another one I thought was very interesting. The Proverbs 27, it says, the righteous man, that means a good man, leads what? A blameless life. That means he constantly lives in a way that no one could talk about him, and it's true. Let your sip, sip, be, he's a good man. What a shit shit. Boy, that guy. He's married for 28 years, faithful. That's a good man. Let him sit good but that. Blessed are his children after him, it says. Because they will pick up that same spirit. Proverbs 24:16 says, for though a righteous man falls, how many times? 7 times, he gets back up again. Listen, maybe you lost the house because of a bad business deal. God said, get up again. You're a good man. Get up again. Maybe the business didn't work out. Start another one, he said. Get up again. Good man don't quit, get mad, and then go fall in a hole and get mad at everybody. A good man knows that when I fall, I'm going to get up again. Fall, get up again. Fall, get up again. So that means if you're a good man, Brother Wisdom, you'll run again. Your wife agrees. You know, when a man falls, he gets it what? 7 times. Your husband made a mistake, had an adulterous affair. God says, wait a minute, if he's a good man, give him a chance, he's going to get up again. Now after the 7th time, you tell him, go. But at least give him a chance to what? Get up again. It's a good man. Because after 7, it's a habit. Maybe you've made some dumb mistakes. See these men here in this beautiful uniform? I'm so proud of you all. Today I saw a man who got up again. You are not bad men. Say it. I am not a bad man. Say it. Say it loud. I am not a bad man. Don't you let anyone in prison tell you you're a bad man. You made a bad decision. You're not a bad man. You're a good man. Get up again. Get on with your life. Great man. This verse is a powerful verse. It says, though he falls, it means that you possibly will, all of us will make dumb mistakes. I made a lot of them myself, but I keep getting back up. I allow no mistake to keep me down. I'm a good man. And a good man corrects his mistakes quickly. There's no perfect man in this building, none. But they can be righteous. They desire to be lined up with God. James 5:16 says what? The prayer of a good man is powerful. If a man is a good man, he's a prayer man. He even prays for himself, he prays for his family, he prays for his business, he prays for his country. He's always standing in the gap for somebody. That's a good man. May God give us men like this. Can I hear an amen? 1 Kings, I love this. David was about to die. David was one of the best kings of Israel. And here's David on his deathbed talking to his son, Solomon. Let's read what he says to his son. David says, I am going the way of all the earth. That means I'm getting ready to go to his grave. So, be strong, Solomon. Show yourself a man. Isn't that a powerful statement? Sound like a Bahamian talking. That's a Bahamian statement right there. They said that in Bahamian many times. They say, well, show yourself a man. In other words, act like a man, he told Solomon. Be a man. Now, he doesn't leave his son like that. He tells him how to be a man. Watch this. He says, first of all, observe what the Lord your God commands you. First thing you must do to be a good man is study the word of God and follow it. Secondly, he says, and walk in his ways. Don't just read it, live it out. And then thirdly, he says, keep his decrees and commands. That means stay with his standards. Then he says, his laws and his requirements, you must adhere to your life so that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you go. He says, and the Lord will keep his promise to you that he made to me. His son, be a good man. So these are the things he told him. Number one, keep his ways. Number two, decrees. Number three, commands. Number four, laws. And number five, requirements. I want every male to remember that that's your list for becoming a real man, a good man. Not buying a house, not getting food on the table, not trying to buy a car and clothes for someone. You got to start with these things. Let me see if my ways are right with God. Let me see if I'm keeping his decrees. Let me see if I am obeying his commands. Is my life lined up with his laws? He said, if you do that, you will have favor from God. God will cause a woman to admire you and respect you. You know, a lot of women really don't want a man necessarily because he has money. She wants him because he's faithful to her, committed to her. He is desiring her best. He doesn't oppress her. He encourages her. He supports her. There are ways for you to bless a woman without bringing home a check. And that's the one way she would hope you do it, is that you become a godly man. Some women, matter of fact, all women would rather have a godly man than a rich man. Very important. Genesis 1:26 says, the Lord created man his own image. And then verse 15, he says, God took the man and put him in the garden and told him to work, to cultivate, to protect, and then to keep his commandments. And I thought it was interesting, and I got a picture of these boys here. They were here last year. And I thought about these young men. And this is what God said men should be. Write this down. Number one, he says, you should be worshippers. The first thing God put the man is in the garden. Eden needs to worship. Two, he says, you must work. Good men worship, good men work. Thirdly, cultivate. Cultivate means that they bring out the best in everything around them. And number four, good men protect. They protect women and children and community. And number five, good men teach. He said to Adam, keep my commands. You teach it to Eve and those children. God never told Eve about the tree. He expected the man to teach his wife. It's very important, therefore, for man to be a good man. He must also become, therefore, a leader. God made Adam first, gave him all the instructions, then he made the woman. Which means that Adam had information before the woman, which means that God expected the man to teach and lead the woman into everything he taught. A man is a leader not because the wife voted for him, or because the kids had an election. A man is a leader because God made him the leader. And leader means that you must see the future before anyone sees it, and take them there. Which means that one of the most important things a male should have is a vision for his life. And a vision for the family. And I'm talking about on paper. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're leading people into a ditch. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. So the key to a good man is he has a vision for the family. Very, very critical. Now, let me leave you with this 10 principles. Number one, display the image of God. To be a good man, you got to represent God's nature. Number two, expose God's nature through function. You must act like God. Number three, you must desire the presence of God, Garden of Eden. In other words, a good man always wants to be in God's presence and get his family there and get his friends there. Number four, work. A good man has value in work. He has a vision for becoming something. And number five, a good man cultivates. He brings out the best. He always cares for other people and tries to bring the best of them. To cultivate means to bring out the best. By the way, I would tell men this, you know, God gave Adam the principle of cultivation. Genesis 2:15. He told Adam, cultivate. The word cultivate means to bring out the best out of something or to make it fruitful. Now, that's why God will never give a male a finished woman. This is important. You were created by God to cultivate everything under your influence. So God will never give you a finished woman. You'll never find a woman you're looking for, gentlemen. God will always give a male the raw material. His job is to cultivate her into the woman that he dreams of. That's why you will never find a woman you're looking for. This is why a lot of men make mistakes. They keep saying, I married the wrong woman. No. The woman you're looking for is trapping the one you're married to. Your job is to bring her out of that woman. You are a cultivator. All the men say, I'm a cultivator. That means you're supposed to produce the woman that you're dreaming of. When I first married a beautiful lady here, she was the most timid, afraid woman. I mean, she was scared to talk to two people. That was too many, you know. Today, she speaks to thousands of people. Stands up and preaches to thousands of people. Why? I had to cultivate her, cultivate her, cultivate her. Now she's the woman that I'm proud of. What the Bible says about Jesus? It says Jesus Christ is the ultimate husband. Watch this. It says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved his wife. How? by the washing her by the water of the word. Watch this. It says he cleanses her. He takes her every blemish, every wrinkle, every stain, and then he presents her to himself as a radiant bride. He doesn't present his wife to his father. He presents her to himself, which means that he is proud of what he did. Oh, please hear me. You know, I think about women in here who are very, very progressive, those who have done well for their lives. You need to marry a man who will not smother that. Some of you come equipped. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. If you marry a woman who is loaded, got talents and gifts and business and anointing and all the car house, hey, brother, don't get jealous of it. Enjoy the thing. Take it and manage it for her. Make sure that she even grows more. Make more opportunities for her to bring forth more gifts. That's a cultivator. Don't be jealous of a woman who's successful. Make her more successful. Matter of fact, let her see that marrying you is an asset to her. Let her improve her life by marrying you. How many men have destroyed good women? Because of their jealousy. A good man cultivates women. So I promise you, man, you'll never find the woman you're looking for. God will give you the raw material. You got to work on that woman until she become everything you dream in your head. The woman in your head does not exist. She's hidden in the woman that you married. And you got to bring her out. That's why a lot of women are frustrated, because men are going looking for this woman. That's why men get divorced. They think, well, I made a mistake again. And the guy gets married 5 times. I still make a mistake. It's like, you know, it's like my friend, what's her name? Elizabeth Taylor. Been married 8 times and she ain't figured it out yet. I mean, it can't just be the men. So, cultivation is important. Number 6, protect. A good man protects what's under his care. Number 7, teach. This is a tough one. God never told Adam but the tree. That means you need to marry a man who can teach you something. Teach means that the man got to go and study. You can teach what you do not know. And guess what? If God called you to teach as a male, you are wired to teach. That means your whole body is built to teach. That means that your psyche is built to teach. The problem is, if you are the teacher but ain't got no lesson, you are a constipated, frustrated teacher. That's why you're mad at your student. No woman in this room from this day forward should read more books than you. Clap if you're rich. You need to make sure you got more information than your wife all the time. Why? She can keep coming to you. But what you think of this? Don't ask her back what you think with that. She don't want to hear that. She wants some information. The Bible says about Jesus and his wife, it says he washes her with the water of what? The word. The word is what? The water. He washes her. She don't wash him. You need a woman and she know the word? That means you got to make up double time as a man. You got to read twice as much. Read the whole Bible in 2 weeks. You got to get as much as you want. Why? Because you're supposed to teach her, and you can't teach if you don't know. And my friends in prison, boy, what a great time to read. Praise God. Matter of fact, if you need books, you just call me. I will pile you up in books. I promise you today. Because you need, when you come out of prison, I want you to be a good man. Cultivate women. Bless your wife. And become the teacher. Because a good man is a teacher. This last two is important. Number 8. A good man loves his family. Loving your family is key. It's kind of tough to love 3 and 4 families. That's why God to say one woman, you know, because 2 of them is too much distraction, man. You ain't got enough love for 5 people, man. Hello? I don't get quiet here, but I wake up just for a couple of seconds before I go. See, sometimes we think, no. You can't love all them people, man. Be honest. too much work. So cut off all the sweetheart strings today. Click, bam, boom, pick-a-doom. Call him up to Henny. Pastor Miles, pick me today. It's over. I got one house. I'm coming home, yeah. I'm coming home. Those young men were singing today, where's my daddy? Running around in my house, isn't it? A good man loves his family. He likes to go home. My lady says, your pastor got to play. Make sure you don't need a dripping faucet in the house. I'm thanking for being home. Sorry. Don't be a dripping faucet. The Bible says a woman destroys her house with her tongue. If you want him to stay home, make it good to come home. Make it so good he won't go nowhere else. Bless God forevermore. But men, love your family. And if she don't clean the house, you have to clean it. Love your family. And if you got outside children, support them. But don't support their mother. Now let me say it again because you all don't get this. Camera, please. Support the children, the Lord say. You ain't got to support no mama. Go to the clock, man. Just look at me for funny. When Abraham sent that woman away with that illegitimate boy, the Bible said he sent her with wealth, money, silver, gold, what? He was a good man. Even though it wasn't his son from his wife, he was responsible for that child. But please, love your family. Don't let your son in the house cut some people, another son outside. Love your family. That's a good man. Last one. Honor marriage. And defend justice. You know, a good man always does what is right. You know what I mean, Doc? He does what is right. If he sees four people being abused, he says something about it. That's a good man. A good man hates to see abuse of law, corruption in society. He hates to see it. A good man wants to know that what's in his power to change, he will change it for the better. And a good man honors marriage. By the way, the Bible never says to honor, you know, the Bible never says that the married people are honorable. The Bible says marriage is what? Honorable. Not the people in it. Which means God wants you as a man to make marriage more important than your own self. That you will do everything in your power to keep this marriage together. A lot of men and women don't honor marriage. So they're easy to break up. Ladies, we got some of the best men in the world in the Bahamas. All them ain't rotten, I'm telling you. They are good men. And some of you women had some bad experiences. And I know it's been horrible. And I understand. As a matter of fact, I hear stories, I just horror stories about how men treat women. But all of them ain't like that. Don't curse all of us because a couple of apples you ate that had a little worm in them. There's some good apples in the barrel, man. And let's elevate the good apples. And give God, y'all better clap. Give God praise for the good men. And those men that were here today on this stage, we want to honor them and give God thanks for them. And even though they're not perfect, they are getting better and better and better. May God bless you. Thanks for coming this morning. Hallelujah. You know, one of the most important things we can do today, then, is to dedicate ourselves as men to becoming better men. Better men. I want all the men to stand, please. All of our most distinguished guests today are the males. Praise God. Look around you, please. Look at these good-looking guys. Hallelujah. Thank God for these great men. Look at that. Wow. So many men. I'm going to ask all the men to come down front, please. We'll just sit for a minute. I want to pray together as men. The Lord has strength us. Come, my beloved brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, we got more men in this meeting than women today. Give God a hand for that. Praise God. I say give God a big shout. Hallelujah. I want to sing the real men song, please. Are you ready? Yeah. Come on now, come on, keep clapping, ladies, so they go get here. Make room for your brothers. Come over, come over, come over. Wow. Wow, what a wonderful thing to see so many real men. Come close, brothers, come close, praise God, come close. Hallelujah. You folks in that beautiful uniform, y'all come up here, man. Y'all come stand with me. I want y'all to stand. Y'all look pretty. Come stand with me. You look nice. Stand right here. Praise God. Yeah, y'all the same as my them. Amen. Come on, give God a hand for these great men. I love you, brothers. God bless you. Right around. I love you guys. God bless you. Lawrence Cunningham is a good friend of mine. I'll be with him actually in a couple of weeks. God is faithful. Praise God. I am so proud of the work that has been done by our president and his team. Brother Kendall, where are you? Come on up here. God bless you. Paul Willie, where's Paul? Paul, come on up here, please. Paul is in prison. Hi, Paul. We love you, Paul. All of our brothers are there up in prison. Praise God. Up to the prison. Amen. You know, we read just now, it said, the prayers of a righteous man avail it much, does a lot of work. Let's think about the men who are not doing so well in our country for a minute. Let's think about the man who killed those two people. Think about the man who made a mistake, just like you made a mistake. The only difference is they got caught, you didn't get catch. Let's pray for these men. Pray for the man who you have responsibility for in your job or in your department, or maybe your son in your own house. Let's pray for the young men in the street who didn't